All right. You asked for it. It's the NFFL Podcast. Coming at you, flying solo, just head. That's right. You're just getting head. So deal with it. I'm breaking my own rule. Welcome back to the NFFL Podcast. Been off for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I have no co-host again this week. You guys saw on Ring, I was trying to get a hold of Danny. He mentioned in some sort of passing manner that he would be co-hosting, co-guesting, whatever I was going to say there. Been trying for 2 days to get a response back. Nothing. Scotty is slated in to be my co-host next week, so I'll have at least one next week I know of. But nothing this week. And honestly, I was just, I've been doing a lot of podcasting at work and I just needed to blow off some steam. So, breaking my own rules this week. So, yeah, you get me.
You suck!
And my good old trusty soundboard.
I want to know what the hell is going on.
So no edits, just me, my soundboard, and probably not nearly enough planning this week. So let's start with a little bit of news. We got firings. The first coach was fired in the NFL this season. Yes, Josh McDaniels, his GM and his offensive coordinator, have been fired from the Raiders, so that could have some bearing on your players, whether it's Jimmy G's been benched, so I saw someone's already picked up Aiden out there. Jizza, I think that's you. And if you got Devontae or you got Josh, what's his face? I'm blanking on running back's name right now. I am so tired tonight. Sadly, not drinking any scotch. I'm out. I need to restock. And no, not cinnamon whiskey. I mean scotch. I just have my cherry Pepsi tonight. But first firing could have some impact on you. So be advised of that. We also have some injuries of note. Drake London, groin, Tremaine Edmonds, knee, Matthew Stafford, thumb, his lying coach. I say lying because every other word out of McVay's mouth is a lie anymore. Says his thumb injury is, there's no, that the injured reserve is not an option. So we'll see there. Devontae Parker, head injury. Tyrod Taylor, Kenny Pickett, both with the ribs. Ribs are a very popular injury this year. Very in, very trendy. Curtis Samuel, toe. Kirk Cousins, another Achilles injury and done for the season. This is not big news to you guys already at this point. Kendrick Bourne, Patriots wide receiver, done for the year with an ACL. And Darren Waller, Minka Fitzpatrick, both out with hamstring injuries. Minka on a short week for the Thursday night game. Yikes. So, that's some injuries. Be advised, if you got a name that's in there, I'd be worried about starting them, especially if they had ribs or a head injury. And of note, following up on my message on the Ring app, trading block, the deadline for trades in our league is November 18th. That is 17 days away from this recording, 16 days away from the day this drops. You'll have, two more episodes before the deadline here. will release. So if you don't get any trades in, you're just, you suck. That's all there is to it.
You suck.
Yeah, so sorry. For you, not because I'm using my soundboard. I've missed that.
He trade raped you. You've been trade raped.
Did not trade rape me, yes, okay?
How many games have you seen Plexico Burress play this year?
I don't know, but the Giants...
I missed the league. It's not coming back. Anyway, no trades of note this week, but hey, I got feelers out. I'm sure other people got feelers out, and Jizza said that his phone lines are open, just not a fire sale. So let's get into some Week 8 Film Room review games. Had no picks for this week, so yeah, well, we're gonna start off with what actually wound up being the game of the week. And I awarded it the game of the week because it came down to Monday night's game, Barebunda's Nightmare falling to the night shift. 203.78 to 188.78. 15-point margin. Not Monday night's game. Sunday night's game. 15-point margin of victory for night shift. Some studs from this one. Trey McBride and Drew Tranquil just rocketing up their points. And Josh Allen, dude's a stud no matter what. Duds, Devon Witherspoon, just not doing much. And Nick Bosa, the name recognition is just not much this season. Hopefully, renting out one of Washington's pass rushers is going to give Nick Bosa a little bit of help there. Matchup MVP for this one, Trey McBride. Coming up next, Awful Waffles took on Jim Kelly Hates Cancer in what was the whoop-ass victory of the week. Because Jim Kelly Hates Cancer took Awful Waffles out behind the woodshed and handed them the first loss of the season to the tune of 162.40 to 239.04. For those of you not good at mathing, that's 76.64 points of difference. Yeah. Let's hear that again. Ooh. Let's hear some studs names here. Anyone surprised? Christian McCaffrey continues his touchdown in every game he plays consecutively streak here. No, not me. AJ Brown, the dude is scary. And Rodrigo Blankenship, there's a whole lot more studs that I could name from this game. Here's where I really miss having a co-host, because I usually just list a few and let co-hosts just shout out more, and they would really have a field day here. Duds, Devontae Adams, he had like two catches. Cooper Kupp, oh, just not a good day for him. Not a good day for the Rams offense really at all. And Jalen Petre, he had like a tackle and a half or something like that. Matchup MVP, AJ Brown, going 8 for 130 and two tutties. Congratulations. Told you he's scary. Next up, we're going to E-Town Asian taking on Gridiron Mafia. 211.58 to 197.32 in favor of E-Town. That's 14.26 points that E-Town wins by. Studs, Tua Tagovailoa. Anyone surprised by that? No? Moving on. Jahmyr Gibbs went beast mode. I saw a stat that he had as many yards is the entire offense of their their opponent. And Riley Patterson, nicely done, does for this one. Patrick Mahomes and his flu ridden, did he even break double digits? I would have to bring that up. I don't think so. Ramondre Stevensuck and Zay Flowers, just not a big part of that. Gus Edwards, the big old Gus bus, took all of the touchdown. I think the only one through the air went to their tight end. What's his, in honor of Danny, what's his nuts? Edwards. No. Anyway, matchup MVP is Little Beast Mode Jahmyr Gibbs. Next up, we have Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian, and Roster Guard 99, 240.28 to 179.44. Not bad, Roster Guard 99, just not good enough. 60.84 point margin of victory for Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian. This is why this podcast is labeled mature. Good job, Ben. Studs, Dak Prescott coming on strong. Logan Wilson and Alvin Kamara. Doesn't get 100 yards on the ground, doesn't need it. On the other side of the coin, Daniel Carlson. It's not often that we really get to mock kickers here on the podcast, but when the opportunity presents itself, we will do it. Isaiah Pacheco. Really, you could just point your finger at anyone on the Chiefs' offensive side of the ball and put them in this category wherever they were slotted in on any team. And Tony Pollard. Not having as great a year as we thought he would, but really did not have a good game here. MVP is Dak Prescott. Moving on to our penultimate matchup, Lance Manlove took on Sweatman's Runners to the tune of 185.56 to 226.38. That is a 40.82 point margin of victory for Sweatman's Runners. Yeah, that's right. Doubling their victory total on the year to 2 and distancing themselves a little bit further from that Pierce trophy. Now for studs, let's point a little bit of love to Jalen Hurts, to CeeDee Lamb. Massive day for CeeDee and Alex Anzalone. It seems like everyone on that Lions defense just loved to get sack after sack after sack on that one drive. Duds. There really weren't duds in this matchup. I throw out L'Jarius Sneed and Nico Collins, but you really have to look to find duds in this matchup. Both of these teams fielded pretty decent lineups this week, and Sweatman's Runners just went off. I'm going to give the matchup MVP award to CeeDee Lamb. And our final matchup of the week was our Toilet Bowl matchup of the week. And that was San Diego 8 taking on the 25%ers, 140-94 to 132-38. Now, you might be wondering, with an 8.5-point margin of victory, why this was the Toilet Bowl game of the week. It was so low scoring, and both teams were both underperforming their projections. That's why. Studs, Chris Godwin, balled out. Kirk Cousins, even before exiting with his injury, his season-ending injury, had a really nice game. And Aaron Donald looked like the Aaron Donald of old. On the other side of the coin, the other Aaron on the field, Aaron Jones, just is not looking like his old self. None of that Green Bay offense is, but Kadarius Toney. Why? And Nicholas Morrow. Now, it's getting a little bit old to point out just the percentage of 25%ers Philadelphia players on the field, but I still feel like I want to do something with that. So for this week, let's just point out the lowest score of the 25%ers. Week one, there were 5 Philadelphia players, 33% of their roster, and they only put together 27.4 points. Their best week was week 5. Again, 5 players, 33%, and they managed to put out 75.5 points. This week, they had their 5 players, 33%. One had a goose. Yes, a goose. And a grand total of 33.6 points collectively. Now, if you set that optimum Philadelphia lineup, there's actually one remaining Philly player on the bench. That adds 3.10 points to the Philadelphia total, but only 1 point total to the whole roster. Not enough to make a difference. So you kind of played your optimum Philadelphia lineup in the grand scheme of things. So congratulations, Chizza. Now, here's where we get into a little bit of my probably not as well planned, as well prepped as normal. Because you see, we're into some of the more statistical stuff where I'm going to share with you the top players of the week. Normally, I make sure that they actually played. I didn't check for that this week. I was a little busy today. But top offensive player of the week, we're going to open up with... yeah. You know what? I'm not even going to do that category this week. Let's just look at some. Let's just break it down into some week 8. Some year to date. We're technically at the halfway point, so let's do a little fun. Just look through. Let's look at our. Let's just break down our offense and defense and overall points here. You know, no. Just look at. Let's just look at our offense and defense. Suck it. All right. So offensively, Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian is our number one team offensively, followed in quick succession by Awful Waffles, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, and E-Town Asian. Those are our top 4. Bear Buna's Nightmare, Sweatman's Runners, and Night Shift make up the rest of the top 7. And Gridiron Mafia rounds out our top 8. Our bottom 4 on the offense are Roster Guard 99, San Diego 8, Lance Man 11, the 25%ers. So there's your top 12. Top 12. Well, duh, there's only 12 of us. Now, of note, from top to bottom, there's only 150 points separating number 1 from number 12. Now, that's an entire game's worth of points, but at the same time, it's not as massive a difference when you factor in overall points, which, by the way, is nearly 500 points. Defensively, we're Save a Horse, Ride a Cow, Ride a Lesbian is number 1. They're actually number 2. But defensively, Gridiron Mafia is our number 1. Save Horse, Ride a Lesbian is number 2. Bear Buna's Nightmare, number 3. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, number 4. Lance Manlove, number 5. E-Town Asian, number 6. Roster Guard 99, number 7. Night Shift, number 8. Awful Waffles, number 9. San Diego, 8, number 10. Feel like you might need to change your name. Sweatman's Runners, number 11, and the 25%ers, number 12. Now, for those of you keeping track at home, I'll just make it really easy. We'll go ahead and go with overall points. But first, the number one scoring defense is at 575 even. The number 12 is at 330.40. That's a difference of 245 points. That is two games worth of points defensively. And this is why we play IDP, gentlemen. None of this pussy team defense shit. I feel like I need a swig of scotch here, but I don't have any. I don't even have cinnamon whiskey, Chuck. So, overall points-wise, Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian, Bear Mudner's Nightmare, and Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, Gridiron Mafia, Awful Waffles, E-Town Asian, Night Shift, Lance Manlove, Roster Guard 99, Sweatman's Runners, San Diego 8, and the 25 Percenters. The only consistent item across all three of those is Jizza and Dead Last. Ah, I feel for you, man. Of note, our top two overperformers are Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian, who on the season has overperformed their projections by 219.65 points, and Night Shift, who has overperformed their projections by 199.53 points. Our bottom two performers are San Diego 8, who has underperformed by 87.05 points, and Sweatman's Runners, who's underperformed by 56.51. Now, Jizza, the 25 percenters, they've actually only underperformed by just shy of 14 points on the season. Averaging that out, you're really only underperforming by about less than 2 points a week. So there you go. There's our statistics for the week. And yeah, just thought that was fun to look at. It's really not as much fun to do poopers without someone else here. But so I'm not going to do them. Instead, let's go on to our pick six for week nine.
You suck.
All right, so start off by taking a look at E-Town Asian taking on Lance Manlove. That's right. E-Town Asian taking on Lance Manlove. Now, as of recording right now, E-Town Asian is projected to win by about 3 points, less than 3 points. So we're talking less than a field goal. Now, with that in mind, you have to remember Lance Manlove currently is slotted in with Massage Watson to start. For those of you who have not been paying attention, that would be Deshaun Watson, who has like one game this season of real Deshaun Watson, and well, maybe two. Week one was just shy of 28 points, but really only one touchdown. So we'll say one game this season of real Deshaun Watson. The report earlier this week was he may rest, but today was Strolder looks strong, so we'll see. there's not a whole lot to note about this lineup, this matchup. I will say that the Saints offense was looking pretty good last week, and they get Chicago, so Michael Thomas could be a sneaky play for Lance Manlove. Meanwhile, they do have Josh Jacobs slotted in as running back and with a new rookie quarterback and coming up against the surprisingly stout Giants defense. And Jonathan Taylor and his questionable ankle all of a sudden might not be as deadly as a lineup as you think. Meanwhile, on the other side, Tua and Jalen going in across the pond to Germany for Kansas against Kansas City. I can see that being a little rough. I can also see Gus Edwards having not as easy a day against Seattle as he did against Arizona. So don't expect an explosion there. And Darren Waller, frankly, I'm surprised that he's even being considered to play, considering Wednesday, today, that he may be out weeks as opposed to days. So all in all, I'm going to give this one to E-Town, just based on the strength of their past and the fact that I'll give it to him by a touchdown. Huzzah. Moving right along, let's take a look at Awful Waffles taking on San Diego 8. Now, for this one, you're probably expecting a smackdown, and Yahoo expects the same. 171.69 to 145.71. Yeah, we're talking almost 30 points. There's a lot of Qs in this lineup, a lot of questionables. And there's some bye week hitting both rosters here. You got a lot of Detroit and San Francisco players and Jacksonville players on both of these, spread across both these rosters. So you got a lot of backups here. Looking at these lineups, I really don't feel confident in San Diego 8's roster. The Baker-Godwin stack could be sneaky good against Houston. I don't trust Jaden Reed and Aaron Jones for Green Bay. And, Curtis Samuel nursing a foot injury for Washington. Ooh, he didn't even practice on Wednesday. Earlier this season, I would have been happy to start him this point in the season, that foot injury against New England. Don't know. For Awful Waffles, Derek Carr against Chicago, I like it. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua against Green Bay without Matthew Stafford, I don't know. Maybe one of them, definitely not both of them. And Saquon should eat against the Raiders. Darrell Henderson against Green Bay, very possibly could eat against the Packers. I'm giving this one to Awful Waffles. Next up, I am projecting this. Did I project this to be a toilet bowl game? No, I didn't project any of these. In fact, I'm going to project Awful Waffles at San Diego 8 to be the toilet bowl game of the week, because it probably will be a big blowout. Next up is Jim Kelly Hates Cancer taking on Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian. And I am going to make that one our game of the week. I need to explain myself on why I'm making Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian taking on I gotta bring that up. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer is my game of the week. Currently, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer is an underdog to the tune of about 20 points. We got Justin Herbert taking on Dak Prescott, AJ Brown going up against Keenan Allen. Yes, those are opposite rosters. We got old man Adam Thielen taking on Tyreek Hill. Jamar Chase taking on a potentially scary Devontae Adams. Kenneth Walker and Joe Mixon taking on Isaiah Pacheco and Tony Pollard. This really is split right down the middle. Honestly, you could flip a coin to guess the outcome of this one. Taysom Hill against Mark Andrews at tight end. And if it wasn't for Taysom being put a questionable tag on a hip issue, I might put all the weight on that one matchup alone. Just because it'd be fun too. I would say that with this one, that Pepsi's coming back to bite me. Looking back on the season, I would give this one to Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian, based on the way their defense has performed and the fact that I like their running backs, or not their running backs, I like their wide receivers a little bit more than I like Jim Kelly hit cancer right now, even though they've got A.J. Brown. But Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian has Keenan Allen, they have Tyreek Hill, and they have Ja'Marr Chase, all three. And they got their secret weapon, Breece Hall. So I'm going to give this one to Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian. Moving on, we're going to go with Roster Guard 99 taking on the 25 percenters. And this one is, currently it's about a 25-point swing in favor of Roster Guard 99. You got Cool Joe Burrow going up against Aiden O'Connell. And then when you get into some of the more skilled positions, it doesn't look all that exciting. I mean, check out these wide receiver cores. DJ Chark, Tutu Atwell, and Terry McLaurin going up against Garrett Wilson with Zach under center. Darnell Mooney and Elijah Moore. And flip a coin there. When it comes to these two, I would put the weight on, you know what, I'm going to call upset here. 25 percenters gets their first win. I don't know why I do. I got a feeling, Jizza. I'm calling your first win. Zach Moss is going to come out and have a big day. DeAndre Swift is going to have himself a day. I don't like any of Roster Guard's receivers to do it much. And beyond Kamara and maybe Mostert with Burrow, he's going to have to ride his defense. So 25%ers lock it in. First win. I need an upset sound cue. Our penultimate matchup is Sweatman's Runners taking on the Night Shift. And for this one, Night Shift is dealing with some bye stuff of their own and some quarterback injuries. Really, the big issue is quarterback. Kyler Murray's not slated officially to start yet, come back from PUP. We've got Justin Fields not back from injury yet. Russell Wilson's on a bye. So right now, Tyler Heinicke is slated to start. Going up against Jalen Hurts. Gee, I wonder who would win that head-to-head. By the way, Sweatman's Runners is favored by about 40 points. Yeah. Josh Downs, Addison, who just lost his quarterback, Tyler Lockett, going up against CeeDee Lamb, Nico Collins, and Deontay Johnson. The only name out of those six that really I would trust this week is CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. Warren versus Eckler. Yeah, Eckler. Justice Hill versus Akers. Slight edge to Hill. Slight. Because he's not the primary running back. Akers isn't either, but at least he might get a 50-50 timeshare. And And KJ Osborne taking on Hollywood Brown. I'll give that slightly to Hollywood. I think this is going to be closer than it is projected to be, but I'll still give a slight edge to Sweatman's Runners to pick up their third win. There we go. And our final matchup of the week is going to be Bear Bunda's Nightmare taking on Gridiron Mafia. And of course, Danny has three empty slots, so it's almost impossible to give a real objective look at what he's doing. Okay. Well, even with three. Well, you know, it doesn't really matter either because 1, 2, 3, 4, Gridiron Mafia. Joe's got four guys who are on a bye currently in his starting lineup, too. So, you know what? I'm going to flip something here. I've got a tube of glue because I don't have a coin down here. I'm going to flip it. You might hear it. Heads, Danny wins. Tails, Joe wins. It's tails. Joe's going to win. That's technically my second underdog pick of the week. If you guys don't care to fill out your rosters by Wednesday or at least try, I don't care to bother picking you. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying if I'm recording, whatever. All right, that's our lineups. That's our games for this week. I have no co-hosts, so I'll keep my keep trade cut for next week. I'm 19-11 on the season on picks. You can buy your NFFL swag on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. No one's bought any in a while, so I'm assuming you guys are all set. But makes a great Christmas present. Tell your wife you want some. Buys this week: Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, San Francisco. Thursday Night Football, Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Enjoy. I'll see you guys on the gridiron. Suck it. The NFFL Podcast is a production of Headfirst Studios. Headfirst Studios. Tell your story.